The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Here we are. It's Wednesday, and there's a lot going on here. I want to admit something here, and I'm always straight. I don't play games. I did watch Trump's press conference today. I didn't watch every bit of it, but I watched, I'd say, 80%, which it took about 45 minutes, an hour almost. And I will say, without any hesitation, I've never seen him sound better than he did today. I don't mean that I agree with everything he says, okay? I'm just talking about his demeanor, his voice, the inflections, the certitude with which he spoke about things. It seems to me that he has assembled a team that really does want to shake things up. And he, of course, is at the head of the team, so to speak. But these people are really involved with the idea of making Canada the 51st state of the union. That was discussed, maybe many of you saw it, I'm sure, at some length. Why one state? There's enough room in Canada to add 20 states, you know, if they wanted to. That's one. He made it very clear that he and his team are going to take back the Panama Canal, with or without military. If we have to send the military down there to do it, they're going to do it. And they're going to throw the Chinese out. Chinese run both ends of the Panama Canal. Russia is involved with Nicaragua with the pending next canal, a second canal that is being planned to be built. That'll be interesting. Third, I came away with no doubt that the message is, are they going to follow through? I don't know, that Greenland is going to be acquired one way or the other. Denmark certainly couldn't stop a military acquisition of Greenland. There are anywhere from 30 to 60,000 people, indigenous Greenlanders, living there. That's it. Not many. Let's say 50,000. Many of them don't, they're already started a movement to break away from Denmark. They don't like being controlled by the Danes. So there's already a predisposition of many people in Greenland wanting to break free. Would that be a state? Would it be a U.S. territory? Possession is nine-tenths of the law, so if you fly 10,000 troops in there and set up, we have one big military base there, and set up two or three more, then you own it, basically. That's just the way it is. Trump is definitely trying to revive the Monroe Doctrine. If you don't know what that is, look it up. It's now Imperial America. and they're renaming the Gulf of Mexico. I'm sure most of you understand that. They're going to call it the Gulf of America now, which is actually much more sensible if you want to play labels. So anyhow, there was a lot said, and I just got the feeling that this guy is angry about what happened to him in 2020. He'll never forget. The people around him are committed to the things I've already mentioned and many more I didn't mention. So I think these are going to be very dynamic days ahead. How will Russia react to Greenland being taken by the U.S. if that happens? Not well. It's right on their border. Look at the map. It's not far away at all. The Northern Passage, where they're running ships now, just above Russia, through the ice with icebreakers and things. It's big business. So we'll see. Anyhow, I just wanted to pass that along. William Gein is back tonight. Hello, William. How goes it? How do you feel in 2025?
Well, we got good news, bad news, and we got icy weather heading for the Carolinas. So we're all we're starting to put the salt out on the roads and the bridges.
It's nippy.
It is very cold. We have to buy our bread and milk to avoid the snow jinx.
Excuse me? You have to explain that.
Well, in the South, when there's any chance of snow, we treat it differently than other parts of the country. Okay. Of course, your people in the Northeast scoff and claim we don't know how to drive in the snow and, you know, that we're silly about snow. But for us, snow is an unexpected holiday and usually doesn't hang out a long time. So we don't get sick of snow. Up in the northern states, you know, Detroit and cities like Detroit, New York, snow hangs out.
So you view it as a treat, kind of, a fun weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it starts when we're little kids because we'll get out of school. We either won't have to go to school the next day because it snowed, or when we were growing up here, you know, we'll be in school and snowflakes will come down and the kids will all get excited, and then the principal will come on and say, "We have decided to dismiss school today at 1 o'clock. And everybody's like, "Yay!" So, you know, we get happy about it.
I got it.
Yep. We don't have the amount of heavy equipment that the northern states have to keep city economies running through this thing. So quite often a good snow by, you know, 4 or 5 inches can shut down the world for, you know, usually not long, but a day or so where there's...
I'm surprised they don't have... Well, we have down here, we call them dump trucks, gravel trucks, and they'll have a big blade on the front. They just run down the road and scrape the snow off. It goes right away.
Well, we have those type of things, but the men that run them usually are not full-time. That's not their full-time job. They're DOT employees and other people who are trained in that, who, you know, only go and man the equipment when it's needed.
I see. And they're DEI, and they wear pink. Okay.
No, they're not DEI, at least not yet as far as I know, but we do get the roads and everything plowed. We just don't get them plowed as rapidly and to the degree and in perpetuity like you would see in New York and other places like that. But the good news is, I mean, all of a sudden, on a good, especially if we have like a wet snow, a pretty snow, we'll have a situation where kids are out of school, people don't have to go to work. If you went and bought your bread and milk, you beat the snow jinx, so you got plenty of food to eat yourself, peanut butter sandwich.
A milk sandwich. You said something interesting there.
Yep.
You know, you described snow. You said a wet snow or a pretty snow. I don't think I've heard that very often, a pretty snow. That's a nice description.
Well, a pretty like snow that. Is when the snow is like a little damp and it sticks to trees and everything looks fluffy, you know?
Got it.
Sometimes you get snow that's more pelletized and on the verge of being sleet and it sticks or it gets freezing rain on. And that's one of the things about North Carolina, though, that we're watching right now, because the models are a bit confused. Well, first of all, let me back up a second. Snow. The central part of our state has not seen snow in over 1,000 days. This is the biggest snow drought in modern recorded history for the state of North Carolina. So we've had some snow in the mountains.
So northwest, northeast, southeast, southwest get snow, but not center North Carolina.
The entire south, there's been the snow, whatever, the weather patterns that create snow for the
snow
Carolinas
drought.
have not Yeah, we've had a snow drought. And, you know, some kids, depending on their age, it's created a big memory gap, you know, and people have pets that are like 3 years old, never been out in the snow. So if we do get some snow, there are going to be some kids that are seeing it for the first time in a long time. But 1,000 days, which is longest in recorded history. Also, some of the models look at creating possible ice storms. Now, we haven't had some very serious ice storms here since the about 20 years ago. But 20 years ago, around the year 2000, we had a couple ice storms that knocked down Raleigh, the capital of North Carolina, knocked out power for some people for 2 to 3 weeks. It was pretty devastating ice. And the thing about an ice storm, the longer you've been since you've had one, the more vulnerable you usually are to them, because the trees have grown older growth branches and things that got knocked down by the last ice storm that will be more likely to come down on power lines. So right now, the models don't know which of us are getting snow, freezing rain, right, sleet, wintry mix.
You're not getting Santa Ana winds and a Satan's blowtorch firestorm like they are in parts of L.A.
Yeah, well, that combined with the DEI women running out to fight the blaze combination, you know, no offense to the ladies, but they've got a new DEI hire in charge of the fire department there, who said her top goal was to increase the number of women because she said that they wanted their best and their brightest. And I'm like, well, when it comes to firefighters, we want our strongest and bravest. So, you know. It's a bad situation, but, you know.
I've been through many of those fires, by the way, and they are like a blowtorch. There's nothing you can do except get the hell out of the way. Nothing. You get 80-mile-an-hour gust winds coming over those hills and down toward the ocean, and the fire bugs go out, and a lot of these are arson. Almost invariably, they're arson. Natural causes, not so much. People start fires. It just happens.
Well, California naturally burns. And has always naturally burned.
It's historic. It does. Expecting it not to is stupid.
Yeah. And with its importance to our economy and things like that, I mean, you know, you're right. All it takes is an agent provocateur with a box of matches or a little flip lighter.
They got better than that. They got little incendiary devices. They can just flick out the window when they're driving through the back hills on two-lane roads and just throw one out every mile or two.
Well, and I haven't seen any of these stories lately, but for a long time there, 10, 15 years ago, we kept seeing all these, you know, a lot of these fires were started by illegal immigrants, creating illegal campfires and not tending them well.
Don't forget there are psychopaths out there that just like to see things burn, too. Yes.
Yep. Well, we'll take the snow over that, and hopefully we'll have the last thing I'll say about snow in the Carolinas and South is that when it does shut everything down and we get a pretty snow, it can be very, very picturesque, very postcard, very, you know.
See, he said pretty snow again. He didn't say gay snow. He said pretty snow. I like that. That's good.
Well, I mean, it's nice. A little house over there with a little smoke coming out of the chimney and a little snow
it
around.
Sounds like
people
Christmas
being
cards again. Yeah.
Well, look, people. I'm telling you, people in other parts of the country, they're like, oh, God, there's more snow coming. I hate it. And, you know, it's getting in the way of my life. It's affecting things, you know. And here we're like, hey, pretty. I'm going to sit in my window, drink a cup of coffee or hot chocolate and enjoy it.
Yeah,
as long as the internet doesn't go out, we're okay.
That's right.
Internet goes out, there'll be panic in the streets.
Pork shoulder and onion rings for lunch? What could be better?
Well, we pull out the sleds. We have sleds. Most of us have sleds stashed around the house. So it starts snowing. We're going to be out there somewhere sliding down hills.
This is deep politics we're talking about, by the way. It's just being covered up.
Some may even make snow cream. Are you familiar with snow cream?
No, but I am familiar with the fact that some snow now actually will burn black with a torch put to it because it's got a lot of chemical constituents.
That's
true.
That's lovely. Well, I mean, you know, our rule is don't eat the yellow snow.
No, don't eat any of the snow anymore. You can't. You can't. It's just there's too much crap up in the air that comes down.
Well, no, what happens is the snow that comes down first will gather up the pollutants. And so the snow that comes down later, so you can scrape off the stuff that's like, you know, 5 or 6 inches on the top of it. And then mix it in with, what's in snow cream? I think people use like vanilla extract and some sugar. Maybe a little bit of...
Well, see, you wait till the windshield has 2 or 3 inches on it before you start licking. Okay.
Yeah, but don't eat the yellow snow. That's an old saying, because that means it's some animal has urinated there, and that's something you want to avoid.
It came from a Frank Zappa song. It was talking about
that's
people.
That's right. Frank Zappa, who used to be a denizen of Laurel Canyon.
Oh, yes. My brother was a very close friend of his. I knew a lot about Frank.
Okay.
Well, very talented, very intelligent man, very much.
Well, there's two big stories on the table here. One, today's release, we had a debate about which one to go with, and one that, you know, I'm going to sample some more information. But the two big stories are, one, I don't think any Republican or Trump voter in their right mind should go to Washington, D.C. I'm not trying to cast any shade on Donald Trump or take anything away from him, but the fact that he's calling for people to join him for a, quote, victory rally in Washington, D.C.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. And even if it goes smooth and nobody gets hurt and nothing blows up and nobody goes to jail for 4 years and nothing crazy happened, it's still, I don't think it bodes well that they're calling him there. But we didn't run with that today because I want to sample. I want to get, you know, see where our people are at. And I want to keep people unified to get a strong momentum going into 2025.
If you want to divide the nation, you do something like that and you false flag it, do whatever, kill a bunch of people, and the nation is in flames. It'll be rioting everywhere.
Well, there is... the other story is that if what Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook said via his video presentation, if it's real, another wall of the electronic prison has been knocked down. Now, you know,
I think it is real. I think it's money, William. I think he was starting to see financial decline here and there. I think he's doing it ultimately not for the Constitution or the right thing to do, but I think it's money. He doesn't want to be left behind. Musk is walking away from him in terms of freedom of expression. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Zuckerberg is saying, if I understand him correctly, that he believes that there's an opportunity here to gain ground on freedom of speech issues. And by doing this, I mean, he's skirting around it, but obviously they were doing something wrong to have to change it to no longer be doing something wrong. But if he is truly going to fire the fact checkers, and put in a community note system similar to what Twitter has. And he mentioned immigration specifically. Mark Zuckerberg said that people want to be able to talk about politics again on Facebook. People want to be able to talk about topics like immigration. He mentions immigration specifically. Now, whether this means that Ali Pack is going to get springed out of the invisible cage we're in on Facebook, I mean, I'm glad we're still on Facebook. I'm glad we can still run ads on Facebook and get some stuff done there. Some of our Ali Pack supporters enjoy having the William Gein, president of Ali Pack of Americans for Legal Immigration Pack page with the 26,000 followers on it to interact, because that's how they like to do things. But for them to see us, we have to spend $20 here and there for our own people to see us. Because if I just post something into the 26,000 follower page that's taken us, we started in 2010, so we've taken us 14 years. Well, we got 14 to 15,000 followers our first 2 years on Facebook, and it's taken us 12 years to get the remaining 12,000. They slowed us down. They sandbagged us. They shadow banned us. Our visibility reach.
Well, would you call it censorship? Can we use that term?
Right. Yes. It's shadow banning is a way of censoring people without them fully being removed, because Facebook doesn't want you to. Well, one, they want your data. They want to know who your followers are and what they think. They want all their information about you for their data studies, for Chinese data studies, data analytics scientists, because there actually have been communist Chinese data scientists working inside of Facebook. They want all that information, but they don't want you to know or feel like you're being censored too much, because they throw you off, you just go create a new account, come back. So they like to shadow ban. But if I make a post, I could post the most exciting thing in the world. I'm the new Matt Drudge. I got the Monica Lewinsky interview, and I'm breaking it to the world, and I posted on the William Gein of Americans for Legal Immigration 26,000 follower Facebook page. I'll be lucky if I don't pay to promote it if 50 people see it. And so we are, you know, we put out a press release today asking if Mark Zuckerberg might possibly, you know, lift the restrictions on our account. And inside of that press release, there's another story. There's been so much happening with the elections and things. We've had to triage. But recently, within the last 3 months, Facebook suspended our largest page. Our largest, most popular page, which used to be titled Impeach Obama. After Obama left office, we changed the name of the page to Prosecute Obama. And that page has or had 344,000 followers.
Huh.
And I went to try to post something on it. I mean, we haven't been very active on it, but I went to try to post something on it about a month or two ago. And it said, sorry, this page has been suspended. Click here for more information. So I'm like, suspended? Suspended for what? So I clicked on it, and I included an image of this in today's press release. Your page has been unpublished. This is because Prosecute Obama goes against our community standards on impersonation. We have these standards because we want everyone to feel safe and respected and welcome. If your content goes against our standards, again, your account may be restricted or disabled. You can disagree with the decision if you think we got it wrong. Continue. Now, I disagreed with them three times. I've tried to get them to say, you know, I said, look, obviously, we're not trying to impersonate Barack Obama. There's a picture of Barack Obama in the profile with him behind bars. There's a picture of him with a federal prisoner label around his neck. This is clearly, you know, we clearly mark this page is for Alipac. That we've done nothing to impersonate Barack Obama here. But then I went back out and found out that you can look around and there are plenty of Prosecute Trump pages flourishing on Facebook. But our 344,000 Prosecute Obama page has been censored. We included that in today's press release. We don't know if Mark Zuckerberg will ever hear about it or if there'll be any changes for us. We do hope that his promises of more freedom of speech on Facebook, especially on immigration matters, is true, because just like Twitter was a massive game changer, what Mark Zuckerberg is promising us, if it happens, could be another second wall of the electronic prison Americans are in coming down. Could be major changes.
Right.
Could impact elections.
Right.
Could impact legislation. Could impact policy. Could impact issues. It's a major thing. If it's true, it's very good news for us.
All right. Well, let's hope. I've got the story up there somewhere. Where is it? I know I put it up there. Anyway, we'll hope that it does work out. Look under guests. I think it's there. Let me find out here. Oh, by the way, look at that Jerry Day commentary at the top. He does raise some very interesting questions about AI. It's very well done. He's a good journalist, a good thinker. Alipac has been censored since 2012. Looking for reinstatement in Zuckerberg's new Facebook. And all you have to do is click on that, and you'll go right to the Alipac page and see the press release they issued today. So it is right
well,
there.
Well, and sometimes when we've been censored on Facebook, it's made national news. I mean, when they censored a comment I made about the Molly Tibbetts murder by an illegal alien back in 2018, that ended up on the headlines of the Washington Times. And they quickly, well, they said they got it wrong, sort of apologized, and said in the article they were going to restore the post, but never did it. They never restored the post. No.
Mm-hmm.
They said they got it wrong.
What a shock.
Well, they lifted their, well, two things happened. They locked me out of my account and deleted my post about Molly Tibbetts, preventable murder.
That's pretty repulsive.
Well, they let me back in the account, so they didn't take the account away from me, but they did not restore the post.
Got it. Well, why are we not surprised? All right, hold on just a minute, William. We have to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back with more after this. keep your eyes out for a pretty snow. Back in a minute. Okay, let's get right back to it with William Dean in snowless North Carolina, but maybe not for long. Okay, what do we want to touch on next?
There's been a major whistleblower leak about this inauguration situation, and I want to lead into it sharing a little bit. I've been writing a couple notes behind the scenes, preparing for what I might put out as a release as I gather feedback from our supporters and listeners out there. And it might read something like, blah, 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 reasons Trump voters should not go to D.C. for Trump's second inauguration. And just a couple of my internal notes are, you know, first of all, I don't think Republican or Trump voters should spend one red penny in Washington, D.C. to support that economy in a city that voted 90.28% for Kamala Harris. 90.28%.
All right. And most of those votes were what?
And to finish that stat, Trump only got 6.47% of the vote in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Am I correct? The great majority of those votes were African American. Not a surprise.
Well, and Hispanic
they
and
think
white
she's
liberals.
Part black. She's not. That's the funny part of it. Go ahead.
Well, I would say at 90.28%, almost everybody in the city. So, two, obviously, from the January 6th situation and other examples, Washington, D.C. police and other city employees and agencies are likely to mistreat Trump voters, side with leftists in any dispute that occurs, and Trump voters could face heavy fines and long jail sentences for trivial matters like jaywalking. The other one is that Americans that live who more than a few hours from D.C., should not or could not afford the expense of traveling right now. To go to D.C., the travel cost, the food, the lodging during inauguration, the lodging during a week, the hotels right up in the center of D.C. where everything's so convenient you can just walk out and do things, I don't even know what they'll cost for the inauguration, but I suspect that you're talking about $1,000 a night for the good hotels. To be there. So I don't think that most Americans can or should afford to even go. I think that those agencies that haven't been transitioned away from Joe Biden and the Democrats yet are packed full of heavily armed, very smart, very dangerous people who are not happy about this. And I don't think that...
And I might add, real quick, those people have been relatively very quiet lately.
Well, and these are the same people that, you know, were embedded with January 6th and the problems there. These are the same people that have been putting out Fed fronts, these khaki-clad people.
Right.
But here's a fairly breaking whistleblower story. I picked it up from a podcaster I watch named Black Scout Survival, but the original source of the leaked information is James O'Keefe, who I've mentioned on your program many times, and we've been supporting every way that we can. And O'Keefe is saying, this came out, James, it's on Twitter, I just retweeted it, and what's the date on this? January 7th, yesterday, 1.2 million views. Yesterday, 24 hours ago, 7:47 p.m., January 7th, and it reads like this. A Veterans Affairs insider reveals an HHS, Health and Human Services, memo detailing unprecedented, quote, presidential inauguration medical personnel support deployment request. Quote, what concerned me was that this has never been requested before, especially not from HHS, an insider within the Department of Veterans Affairs told O'Keefe Media Group, revealing an internal memorandum requesting medical personnel ahead of the 2025 presidential inauguration. The document, addressed to Dr. Paul D. Kim of Veterans Health Administration Office of Emergency Management, detail a formal appeal for paramedics, emergency nurses, and doctors. When questioned by James O'Keefe about if it was typical for the Office of Emergency Management to administer this kind of memorandum for previous inaugurations, Derek Jostad, the executive director for the VHA Office of Emergency Management, said, quote, I was not with the organization, so I can't speak to that. directed to speak to public affairs, da-da-da. So they're basically saying that they've never requested this type of help before, and some of the requests is for paramedics and surgeons and nurses to be deployed and on standby for the inauguration.
Okay.
And they've got copies of the memorandum here. Purpose. The purpose of this memorandum is request two paramedics, two registered nurses, and two doctors of medicines of osteopathic medicine nurse practitioner to support the presidential inauguration January 17 through 21.
All right. So how many people do you think are going to show up in Washington after Trump's invitation? What's your
guess?
Well,
the text I got today, because I'm continuing to be bombarded with text, even though I told the Trump campaign to stop texting me and emailing me several times, they continue to text and email. And the most recent one that came today says, let me find it here. Oh, yeah. President Trump is holding a victory rally before he's sworn in. We need you in Washington for the biggest rally yet. So somebody with the Trump apparatus wants the biggest victory. And I'm right there. I'm glad Trump won. I voted for Trump. I ask other people to vote for Trump. I want him to keep his promises and do the things that America needs done to help us and help our country. But I don't think that rubbing a victory in everybody's face is what's called for here. I think that, you know, he just needs to go swear in a small ceremony and get to work. This isn't a time for a showy, dancey, party, expensive, hoo-hoo, we won, rub it in the face. The nerves are raw. The people are raw. The people are not happy out there. And there's no reason to provoke. Why provoke? Provoke these people. You've got leftists online calling for people in the nearby, and that's nothing. D.C. is surrounded by blue states, okay? Virginia has a Republican governor, but the northern half near D.C. is all blue. Maryland's blue, Jersey's blue, New York is blue, Pennsylvania's blue, our swing state. They got all these. The left can call up so many people. They had a million women march in 2016.
That's right.
So they've got the city of D.C. on their side. They've got the armed federal agencies on their side. They've got all these blue states nearby. And the Trump messaging is, we're going to do a victory party in your face with more of you than ever before. Come right up. In fact, let's pack you all into this big stadium in the middle of Washington, D.C., the January 19th, the day before, inaugurated.
This could really mess up the inauguration. You know it.
Well, it can mess up the entire agenda, the plan for what we're trying to do. You know, I mean, I don't.
This is not smart. This is a very suspicious. It's not pragmatic. It's not logical. It's not sensible. When you think about
January 6th. Not after what happened on January 6th.
No,
and I'm not saying that from the perspective of like, oh, that January 6th was an insurrection. It was terrible. I'm saying that all those people that came to D.C. at Trump's beckoning, in my opinion, walked right into a trap.
Of course they did.
And I called
several people and told them, do not go. I told them, don't do it.
I knew better to go. I went to his first inauguration. I spent money I didn't have to spend. I had to get really creative to go to Trump's inauguration, and I, you know, was glad I went.
And it's okay, William, that you haven't paid me back yet. It's all right. You just keep.
Well, here's the other thing, Jeff, okay? He does these, like, hour-long press conferences and stuff. On the day of the inauguration, when he's sworn in, he stands on, like, what, the balcony of the congressional building or whatever, and the throngs of people all pack the mall, and it's on jumbotrons, and it's the sound is amplified so you can hear it from miles in every direction.
Yeah.
And it's streaming on your devices, and it's on every television and radio station simultaneously. Okay, so he's going to be up there making a speech just like he did in 2016. And I'll say his inaugural speech in 2016, one of the really cool things for me, besides my feet, which were freezing because I did not layer up with some wool socks like I should have, was footwear. Me and other people that go to D.C. make footwear mistakes all the time. But a lot of what he said about America and America's first was stuff that I've been saying to people for years. It was very hopeful to me to see Obama leave in Marine One, I guess, heading to the Air Force Base, and to hear a lot of the things and the concepts and the messages that I've been trying to get out there for a long time radiated in his speech. But he's going to have a rally the 19th, and he's going to get all his followers together in a stadium and come back tomorrow, see you in the mall, 2 days in a row. Really? It's not necessary. It's overkill, and it shouldn't be happening like this.
No.
I mean, there's something wrong with it on different levels. And I, you know what? It's one of these things where I tell people I want to be wrong about this, okay? I want to be wrong. I want, and I'm more concerned about this.
Can I ask a question? Hold on. Is Trump pushing this invitation kind of in the face of the other side, of the communist side, to show that America is safe again? Is that being used as a rationale for this kind of a major invite?
Well, he can't assure that anyone is safe outside of his own, you know, sphere.
Well, I concur, and I'm just asking,
he's not in charge of the military or the agencies or any of those things until he's sworn
he's
in.
He's not sworn in. So my point is, what's the rationale that's being used? Everyone remembers January 6th. They sure as hell should. I don't quite follow it yet.
There's a certain list of things it could be. Ego.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, there was a lot of that on display in the news conference. I did this. I did that.
Yeah.
I did
it
this.
Be ego. Look at me, biggest rally ever. Look at all my people, adoring fans. And I'm raising money. Raising money. You know, they make money off of these events. You buy tickets to the balls. You buy tickets to events. You know, meet and greets. There's a lot of money involved. And then people give him money to throw the events. And so there's money and there's ego, or there's an agenda at foot, and there's going to be another trap. And if there's going to be another trap for Trump voters, it could be a trap that's set by the left and the deep state.
Of course. Yes.
Or worst case scenario is another trap, and Trump is the willing Judas goat. That's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario for January 6th was that it was a trap and that Trump baited his own people to come up there and go into the trap and is doing it again. I hope that's not the case. I hope that I'm wrong. I'm not saying that's the case.
Well, whether or not that happened, William, the bottom line is he walked out of office without pardoning those people. And he knew, they all knew that many of them were utterly innocent. And he just walked out. That's unforgivable.
What I'm having trouble reconciling is why would he do this again? Why would he do this like
this again? I don't understand.
I
mean, that's why I'm asking. What's the rationale? What
I mean,
I
wouldn't
make sense. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't take a chance. They can't control the communists. They don't know what they're going to do.
Because I didn't like how he called everybody to D.C. and then he was like, "And now to the Capitol." And then he crawled, you know, behind the walls and the command into the command center, and sent all those people down towards the Capitol without any handlers. Where was his people? Were they going to go down there and say the rest of the Trump team is waiting for you at our protest points and whatever? No. It was like, go get them that way. And at that point...
So what is Ali Pack's position? Are you taking a position on this yet?
No. What I'm doing is I'm thinking out loud with you as a friend and an ally in these concerns. I'm expressing my thoughts and concerns with your audience. I'm doing some writing behind the scenes. originally I was going to put something out about this today, but went with the Facebook censorship reduction pledge instead. On Friday, we're going to have to launch the first funds drive for Alipac for 2025, and anything we raise tonight, tomorrow, will be counted towards the funds drive we're launching on Friday, because we have to refuel the tanks to move forward. And I may put something out over the weekend, and like a survey or an email, and listen back to people. You know, one thing I don't want to divide. I'm so cautious about saying anything that could even be considered slightly critical of Donald J. Trump, because what happens is certain people are like, oh, I think William Gaines said something critical about my Lord and Savior, Donald J. Trump, and I'll never support him again.
No one should idolize anybody that much, especially in modern politics.
I've been through this already, where I lost a bunch of people because I complained about Donald Trump not ending DACA amnesty on his first day in office, second day ever, and then started supporting amnesty, and I found myself in an adversarial position against Donald Trump, and I lost a lot of people. I lost a lot of donors and supporters, and I can't afford to lose anybody. You know, I'm not going to stop the inauguration.
Come on, shame on those who left. You're entitled to your opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. They shouldn't cut off relationships with such a critically important organization. That's stupid.
Well, I mean, anything I say or press release isn't obviously going to impact the Trump apparatus at this phase, you know. And the whole thing is, you got to be very careful about jumping in front of parades when they start marching, okay? You know, if a parade starts marching and a group of people start moving and the herd mentality is happening and people are moving a certain direction, you know, and if you jump out in front of them, you're going to get plowed. You're going to get stomped. You're going to get stampeded. You're going to get killed. And what you got to do is watch the movement and figure out the right time and the right place and the right way to affect the Overton window to try to steer things, you know. But, you know, Donald Trump jumped at the head of the illegal immigration fighting movement and took over that movement. He has commandeered that movement and taken it all underneath it, which I don't have a problem with if he's true blue and genuine about what he's saying to people. If he's not genuine, if he's not true blue, we're on deep crap.
I know.
But, you know, it's... I think that
this is going to be quite a show. All right. Canada. What happens to Canada? All right. Trudeau, as they call him up there, just quit. All right, fine. New elections coming. But beyond that, Greenland, the Panama Canal may have to be taken back by force. I think Trump won't hesitate to do that. Probably already gaming it right now, the Pentagon. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Greenland, piece of cake to take. No problem. 50,000 people spread all over that world's biggest island. Oh, it's easy. And he is standing firm on the concept that these all three are vital to America's national security. That's what he's saying.
Well, and they may be, and it may be a good idea, and certainly I don't think that Carter giving away the Panama Canal was a good idea, especially if we're looking at what's
stupid.
Happening with the Chinese right now.
Unbelievably stupid. Sorry.
I think that the focus needs to be on what he campaigned on, what he has a mandate on. Trump has a mandate to secure the border and deport millions of illegal aliens, and that internal focus, you know, Greenland and the Panama, they're outside the United States borders and not currently on the United States control, which has been where too much of the focus has been. The focus has been on foreigners and foreign places, and we want the focus here on the United States, because even if you were going to expand the American empire to take back control of these territories, the problem we have is right here. The enemies are in our midst. And I don't want anything to distract from the mandate. He had some mandates in 2016, and he didn't follow through with them, and he ended up on defense, and it ended up being, you know, a real, you know, crappy situation.
It was a long, slow grind, unfortunately.
Yeah, because he lost his momentum because he got off the things that he did to mobilize people and win the races. He didn't deport illegal aliens. He didn't end DACA. He didn't get the illegals and the other type of election
skullduggery
out of the race.
How does that settle with Alipac?
Yeah, well,
I want
we oppose
the
that.
To and stay.
You know what? If we have to fight Donald Trump on Dreamer amnesty, we'll do it because this organization, we fought the Dream Act.
What did he say in 2015? He wanted him to go.
That's right. Well, he said he's going to end it. Now he says he wants them to stay. So, you know, obviously the situation is fluid. I hope he has better people around him now. But, you know, we don't know ultimately who's pulling the strings. And right now, you know, the Lake and Riley Act passed Congress. And I'm a little worried because who's reading all these bills? I'm not. Are our volunteers reading these bills? I don't know.
How big are the bills? How many writers are hanging on them?
And what all is in there? What devils are in the details? You know, when I heard last night that Congress had already passed the Lake and Riley bill, I mean, I was like, what? You know, that fast? That quick? You know, my forte is immigration, and I didn't, you know, I saw an email from Numbers USA saying support the Lake and Riley Act. Now it's over in the Senate. I really hope there's nothing toxic in that bill. I hope there's nothing like, oh yes, we're gonna do something to those terrible illegals after they rape and kill American citizens and rob somebody, but all the rest of them can stay and become Democratic voters within 10 years. Da 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 da. You know, or we're gonna prevent deportations of anybody else. You know, and codify that in a way that the courts can swing in and say, ah, you created second-class citizenship, so boom, they got voting rights right now. You know, it's so many things are happening so rapidly right now.
I mentioned that. It's going to be quite a show. I agree. After listening to him at that, he is talking, well, the ego was there. That was something he could have done without. But, yeah, that's Trump. He was really talking very self-assuredly about the direction he's not only going to head, but the achievements that are going to be racked up. And you Canadians up there, the big reason that Canada might oppose this, one of them is their National Health Service, which is not very good, according to everybody I've ever talked to. But nonetheless, they don't have to pay for health service. So I don't know how this is going to work out, but these are very major issues. We'll watch.
Well, I'm going to do everything I can, and I want to see illegal immigration in America reverse for the first time in 2025, with more illegals being deported and leaving on their own and self-deporting than are coming in. And we better get there quick. You know, we're going to be squeaky wheels, and we're going to stay focused on reversing illegal immigration in 2025.
What do you think of my idea? You give them 30 days to get out. If they're not out and you catch them, they'll do 2 years at labor, helping to rebuild America's infrastructure. Then they're going to be exported.
I'd be more generous, Jeff. I'd give them 60 days. And then if we had to come get them and deport them, we seize whatever property and bank accounts or any other valuables they
have. Teeth. I think two years has more teeth. But whatever.
You tell these illegals that we're going to take their brand-new F-150s and Sierras and GMC trucks, and they'll leave so fast and make your head spin.
We'll see.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. You be well. Take care. William Gein, AllyPack.us, and we'll be right back with more.